A low-flying B-1 bomber can make a lot of noise, and that's one reason a number of landowners in Meade County are angry over a proposed expansion of training space for military aircraft stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base. The Department of Defense wants to increase the airspace it uses to train its B-1 bombers and other aircraft, but some residents say the loud airplanes hurt property values, scare livestock, and start fires. The Meade County Commission chimed in on the issue with a letter of concern to the FAA. Coming up, we'll discuss some of the concerns of residents, but first we have this report from SDPB's Charles Michael Ray.
Air Force officials like to throw around the term combat readiness, and to maintain this kind of readiness takes lots of training. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Farmer says expanding the training airspace for military aircraft makes practice missions more like the real world.
This airspace proposal would replicate the types of distances that we often see in our combat mission. Importantly, it also prepares us for today and tomorrow's real-world combat operations.
The proposed expansion quadruples the training airspace the military currently uses. The new space covers a huge swath, encompassing parts of Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas. But the idea of more air traffic over what are normally tranquil rural settings doesn't sit well with everyone. The Meade County Commission ended up one vote short of a resolution in opposition to the Powder River expansion plan. Commissioner Linda Rausch says she understands the needs of the military.
I'm supportive of the Air Force. I trust them when they tell me they need expanded training area and that this would be helpful to them and save money for them. So I'm happy it would save federal dollars. But it is quite an intrusion.
Rausch says that intrusion is on local landowners. She says while the commission isn't backing an all-out resolution against expansion, commissioners are also not endorsing the plan. She says county officials are sending a letter outlining landowner concerns. Meade County Commissioner Robert Heigerkin believes an increase in low-flying military aircraft drives down land values.
I think it's going to take away from some of the private property rights of the people underneath that area, and really Meade County has not profited very much at all from Ellsworth. They've challenged us on our valuation of their houses, and they ruined some of our roads by hauling stuff to a landfill that encroached on the section line, and you know, that's created a lot of problems for us.
Many ranchers on the ground share these concerns. They say the Air Force isn't willing to address complaints about property devaluation or losses. Marvin Kammerer owns a ranch near the end of the Ellsworth runway. Kammerer points to all the ranchers who use small aircraft every day to check their livestock.
There's some who fly airplanes. An old coyotes are working on their sheep in the morning. They got to get up in the air and fly. Ranchers and farmers who need to spray crops in the morning's the best time to do it. But what's that going to do when the B-1 or 52 comes through at 500 feet?
The Federal Aviation Administration is now considering whether or not to approve the Air Force expansion plans. And it's not just ranchers who are chiming in. Local aviator Norma Kramer says expanding the military training area will disrupt local air traffic at small-town airports across the region. That includes towns like Spearfish and Sturgis, South Dakota, Headinger, North Dakota, and Broadus, Montana.
You're talking over 50 general aviation airports that their air traffic would be compromised routinely Monday through Friday during the day while the Air Force is having their practice missions. I'm an Air Force brat. I love airplanes. I think the Air Force should fly as much as they can, but they need to be good neighbors and share the airspace.
We're absolutely committed to being good neighbors.
Again, Ellsworth spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Farmer.
And it is important for us to enhance our combat readiness and make sure that we're ready for our nation, but at the same time, we also want to make sure that we are being committed to those neighbors and that we're listening to them and we're working with them day to day, and not just today, but in the future.
But some of those neighbors, like Norma Kramer, don't believe Air Force officials who say they're listening. Kramer notes that her small cloth and wooden airplane is practically invisible to most radar. She says it's very hard for anyone in a big military aircraft to see. She adds that in this case, the Air Force is acting like a giant bomber overtopping her small plane in the air.
The closing rate is, I'm bopping along about 70, 80 miles an hour up to about 120 miles an hour, and they're doing a good 400, so I can't get out of their way. So that's the conflict.
The FAA is taking public comments on the proposed Powder River Training Complex through May 3rd of 2014. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City.
You can find links on our website, sdpb.org, including where to make comments on the expansion to the FAA. Joining us now for more about concerns over the proposed expansion of training space is Anita Lee, who farms in Meade County. And Anita, thanks for joining us on the program.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for giving us the chance to tell the rest of the story. I would like to start where they started with their handout in Rapid City at the scoping meeting. I'm going to read here, air crews need adequately sized, configured, and available airspace to train as they fight during worldwide deployment. Okay, so I started checking how much airspace do they need? It seems like this is a lot. Well, I failed. I spent a lot of time trying to find out how much space they actually had. I did find a letter from Harry Reid. They would not answer it. He asked them how much land they had, and they would not tell him. Now, I'm old enough to remember when the military had to answer to Congress. I don't know at what point we lost that, but I think we should be a little worried. And I looked at other areas, and this is not the only training expansion they're working on. This isn't even the only training area that claims to be the largest in the country. They're looking at a lot of space here. And also, if you look at the picture of the map they give us, that isn't anywhere near accurate. What they do is they draw a picture of the training area, but they spend most of their time outside the training area. And the environmental impact statement gives the amount of time they spend flying and in the training area. Okay, they'll be flying roughly 4.5 hours in the morning and 5.5 hours in the afternoon. Of that time, each plane will spend on their regular training days about 24 minutes in the training area. And on these large flight exercises, they're going to spend 20 minutes. The rest of the time, they're going to be circling around, getting ready to go into the training area. So the area outside the actual training area will actually see more traffic than the area inside the training area. And one reason they had to include the Cheyenne River and the Standing Rock reservations is their little radar point is somewhere by Dupree. They circle around that, and that's their timer, so they know exactly when to enter the training area. So this space isn't adequately portrayed at all. So I wish everyone had been to the meeting in Belle Fourche, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. He was the guy from the Air Force who was presenting their side. He admitted that they did not need this space. He admitted they don't need it, but he hung to the area, to the claim that they did need it to save money. And that was a poor choice because the environmental impact statement gave a lot of pretty significant impacts. But the biggest impact was the huge increase in fuel costs.
I just want to mention that Ellsworth Air Force officials were invited to join our conversation but declined. However, as you just heard, Charles Michael Ray did talk with Ellsworth spokesman, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Farmer, for his report. And also with us on the line is Norma Kramer. She was featured in Charles Michael Ray's report. She's a pilot. She's written several books about the history of aviation in the state. And Norma, I want to thank you for joining Dakota Midday as well. What are your biggest worries about the impact of this expansion from your perspective as a pilot?
Thank you very much for having me on the radio today. My biggest concern is the huge footprint this takes out of the airspace in this area. The current Powder River MOA is sort of in no man's land, and so it doesn't impact flying cross-country much when you go places. But with expanding it almost to Billings, Montana, and then almost to Bismarck, that means that people who routinely fly to all the airports in this area are going to be constrained to find out when it's safe to go there. And the radar coverage of this area, which is pretty much controlled by Denver Center, the radar only covers 3,000 feet above ground level and above. So that means that as a pilot, I can't call up Denver Center and ask if they see any targets down in the area where I routinely fly, because my small plane, if I get up to 2,000 feet above the ground, that's high altitude for me, because I don't want to waste the gas to get up there. And then the Air Force's other argument is that, well, you can call the flight service station number 1-800 weather brief and ask if the if it's active. Well, that works great if the cell phones worked in the area, but they don't. You'd have to go to a landline to call. So they're putting all these inconveniences in our way, and they're impacting businesses that make their living with aviation. I don't make my living as a pilot. I've been lucky to have money for other things. However, like the Baker Airport manager, he also flies pipeline patrol. There aren't very many pipelines down in South Dakota, but Montana and North Dakota have lots of oil pipelines that they routinely fly at 500 feet above the ground to see if there are any leaks. If the Keystone XL pipeline does get put in, that means that all of the area that's covered by this military operations area would be under the gun for the pipeline patrol people to see that. I've asked pipeline patrol pilots what they do. They said they're at 500 feet. They're really busy looking at the pipeline, and they're not really given enough time to also be scanning for aircraft in their area. The B-1s and the B-52s, if they're down at 500 feet above the ground, they're also busy with their current mission. They're not out sightseeing looking for other air traffic. So the potential for a midair is better than zero. It's still not going to be much, but it's the huge footprint they want to take and disrupt the business of everybody in the area. Also, I wouldn't want, if I was a rancher in that area, I wouldn't want them dropping chaff and live flares while they claim they won't release the live flares below a certain altitude. If they're at 500 feet and they hit the wrong switch, they've just started a prairie fire. And after the B-1 crashed up in the Powder River MOA last year, it took the Air Force over an hour and a half to respond. It was the local ranchers who played the rescue crew for the B-1 people. So the Air Force has unrealistic views of what is possible. And they used to have a lot more military training routes across South Dakota, because in the 1980s, as a Civil Air Patrol member, I actually went out and surveyed these routes. They were only 5 miles wide, and they would go all over the place. But you knew when they did their low-level flights, that was the whole area they were going to be in. They were not going to drift off into the whole huge area. And there are still some military training routes on the maps, but the ones that I've surveyed are long gone. And so I'm thinking, are they thinking smart for how to get the job done, or are they just deciding, wouldn't it be great to have this huge area to go fly around in? All of their rationale sounds wrong to me.
Well, so you don't think they need as big a space as they say they do. I'm wondering, Norma Kramer, how do you balance looking at this, the needs of the military to train, with the concerns that you have?
Well, the thing is, there are lots, like the speaker before me, there's lots of military training areas all over the United States. And some of them are over publicly held land, like especially the ones out in Nevada, Utah. So if they drop live flares, they're not going to be setting private land on fire. This area is primarily privately held land. It is not Forest Service land. It is not BLM land. And so the Air Force has not done a good job in the past of responding to what environmental damage they have done with some of their projects. It took them until last year to clean up the mess they created in World War II at Red Shirt Table. So they're asking the landowners, the pilots of the area, to give up an awful lot, and yet they give no concessions in return.
Anita Lee, do you feel that the U.S. is, or the Air Force is not responding to some of the concerns that you've been citing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They talk a little bit about the ranchers, and they don't even mention the farmers, but reading from their the environmental impact statement, agricultural applicators may perceive a low-level B-1 or other military aircraft as having a potentially significant impact on their operations. When a large aircraft operates at low altitude, a wake vortex generated by the aircraft turbulence can strike the ground with the force of a brief, strong, rotating wind. Now, agricultural applicators, I think they're thinking of aerial applicators, and the environmental impact statement does address that. It gives Heidi, don't remember the number, all the aerial applicators and suggests that they want to move to another area. Okay. But if you've ever watched them, they're just a few feet higher than a ground applicator rig. And the impact from this wake vortex would be exactly the same. It would blow your chemical, I don't know, a mile, however long these, I'm sure Mrs. Kramer could say better how far this wind vortex goes, but what it would do was move your chemical from the field you intended to be spraying to another field. And you could be using Roundup on your summer fallow, and suddenly this thing flies over your head, and you've blown your Roundup over on your alfalfa field or on your neighbor's field. And what would amount to is we would have to give up spraying the hours that they are training, and those are about the only hours we do spray. The morning hours and the evening hours, that's about the only time you do spray, because we have to follow the same temperature and same wind guidelines that an aerial applicator uses. And the middle of the day, when you do have a little time that they're not training, is usually when you can't fly or spray, either one. So it would pretty much make farming prohibitive. And if our listeners out there are thinking, hey, they'll all go organic, not even close. Organic farmers do use chemicals. They use different chemicals. They have a list that's approved for their use, and if our chemicals wandered onto their fields, they would lose their organic status, and then they would be greatly upset. So they could respond by suing the farmer whose chemical drifted onto theirs. And keep in mind, there is no insurance coverage for a chemical boo-boo. Well, if you mess up, you're on your own. So it could be devastating to agricultural in this area.
We've only got a couple of minutes left here, running out of time, but we'll get, we have one phone call. This is from Marvin in Meade County. Just a couple of minutes left here. I understand you have a comment to make?
Yes.
Yes, hello? Oh, I think we've lost Marvin. All right, well, are you still there? Nope, I guess. Well, we'll just kind of wind things up here. Norma Kramer, there's some concern, do you have at all, that if this expansion doesn't happen, that perhaps funding for Ellsworth could be closed, given the Secretary of Defense's announcement that there's a possibility for a large drawdown of military activity?
Military bases have always faced the possibility of closures, and Ellsworth will probably have to go through the process again and again. That's just, I think, a given. I think the military mission at Ellsworth is diverse enough that it would still withstand any possible closing, and they're not going to close it down because the MOA is not expanded. That would be pound foolish, really. The thing is, though, while South Dakota politicians see that as the golden calf, it's not necessarily the death knell of the economy if an air base does close. I learned to fly in Nashville, Tennessee in 1975, And while I flew mostly out of the primary commercial airport there, to solo the plane, my instructor took me to Smyrna, Tennessee, which is about 15 miles south. It's an old abandoned military base that at the time I was flying there, it was an uncontrolled field, but they still had the big hangars, and businesses had come in and they were refurbishing airliners. And as I was getting ready to leave leave Tennessee and move to South Dakota, Toyota built the first U.S. assembly plant for Toyota Motors on that field because the infrastructure was already there that made it very lucrative to build a factory there. So in the long run, all of the infrastructure that is created by a military base will still live on long past whatever military use it might have. I don't think that's going to happen, but it is not the end of the earth, folks.
Well, we'll have to leave our discussion there. Norma Kramer, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. And Anita Lee, thanks for your time as well.
Well, thank you.
Norma Kramer is a pilot and South Dakota aviation historian, and Anita Lee is a farmer from Meade County. Ellsworth Air Force officials were invited to join the conversation but declined. The FAA is taking public comments on the proposed Powder River training complex expansion through May 3rd. You can find links on where to comment on the expansion to the FAA on our website at sdpb.org. You can also hear Charles Michael Ray's report on that expansion again, which includes comments from an Air Force official from Ellsworth.